Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Nick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in front.
Not just a great Group 1 in the Guineas, it's a pretty tough-looking card, but despite that, Sharky's confident he's here to tip the card. How are you, Sharknado?
I'm very well, Michael. How are you?
Very good.
It's an important day today.
Guineas Eve.
No. It's a happy anniversary day for you and young Jackie.
Yes, it is indeed.
10 years married.
10 years, can you believe it?
And they said it'd never last.
Well, a lot of people told her it'd never last.
What do you get for 10 years?
Nothing. It's pretty much
what do you mean?
Well, isn't that what, nothing, I don't think. Maybe a bunch of flowers, is that what you get?
You get something, surely. Oh. 10 years is...
It's a long time, but it's been a fun time. So, yes, 10 years makes,
so you, got married
makes
at,
you feel
what,
old.
40? How old? Well, Jackie was 21.
It's move on, Sharknado. Move on.
Speaking of 10...
Yes.
What do you make of the 10 race scenario?
Well, Matty Stewart.
In, New South Wales.
Matty Stewart was a bit bemused by it yesterday, saying that it is a very, very long day. I mean, we have 9 most race days on a Saturday.
Any talk about Victoria going to 10?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to the halls of power at the Racing Victoria. But is ten too long?
Too many.
Too many for punters and participants.
Ridiculous. I think we're all well aware that we're involved in a sport that, you know, survives largely off wagering turnover. But do we need to turn it into a casino sport where it's just endless racing day after day? I don't know if that... We're sort of... You know what I've noticed? We're losing the special feel of weekend racing. It used to be the class above, you know, your everyday racing. Now we've got benchmark 64s and 70s on Saturdays. We're just losing the special touch
so
of
you
Saturday
think
racing.
Saturday should be the premium class
My
races.
Word, it should be.
So
we're bolting on races after races. Well, have a look at some of those American meetings where they've got 12, 13, 14, 15 races. You know, it's literally turned into a casino sport.
Well, they do
It'd
that.
Be really sad.
They do that over in Japan, don't they? They have major, major race cards.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. You got to wade through endless swill to get to a decent race. Oh, why? Just put the good stuff on.
So what do you think of racing? And we'll probably discuss this more on Monday, but what do you think of Racing New South Wales, I suppose, ethos that you have your highways and this middle-tier race, which is for small stables or country stables, to have a crack on a Saturday in town?
Wow, great. I like the fact that they can get access to that prize money, but run those races with increased prize money Monday to Friday. Don't put them on a Saturday.
So you're saying keep the country horses in the country if they want more prize money
if good enough,
into the country.
Where's the aspiration, right, to graduate to city races with a metropolitan class horse? Why are we rewarding, great, we'll showcase these horses on it. Look, please. When was the last time you bet in a highway?
I've got to be honest with you, absolutely never.
Absolutely.
I don't even follow the horses in a highway.
Because you don't know the horses, they're country horses, they get a little show up in town and it's, great, good for the owners. Come on. We need to make Saturday special. Bring back the quality of Saturday racing. Let's not go down mediocrity street.
Well, I think we've got pretty good quality tomorrow.
We do.
At headquarters. It's a tricky day and there's lots of depth. So let's get stuck straight into it because we've got 9 races at Flemington and then I want to talk about the two Group 1 races in Sydney as well. So I think... What we'll do, even though it's a big field, we'll whip through. I want to get a summary on every horse in the Guineas. Because just a few weeks ago, we were probably looking at the Guineas saying, this could be a bit of a thin Australian Guineas, but it's ended up being quite deep this year, Sharky.
It has. I think it's a... I don't know if these horses are absolute top-shelf three-year-olds. I think they're a very, very even bunch. Bar the top
See, there's
two,
a lot of. There's a,
Kirk and
I was going
Taylor.
To say, there's a lot of different opinions. Like Troy Corson's was almost incredulous at the thought that it's an even group. He thinks Ole Kirk's a star.
Well, he is. Ole Kirk, Tagaloa are absolute, you know, right up there. The rest of them are an even group. It's the Australian Guineas. You often get those horses that either had a limited spring campaign and then went out, you know, through lesser races perhaps, and then came back with the view that they would improve into the autumn and be, you know, a proper Guineas horse. I think we've got some of those that may not have measured up to expectations. And then you've got horses that have been racing over summer and they're trying to extend a campaign into a Guineas. I think it's as far as winning chances go, I think we can narrow this race right down.
All right. Well, I like that. And it could be the cream at the top. Number one is Ole Kirk. Right about $7.50. You were very forgiving of the run last week. You thought he was in the worst part of the track, and
yeah,
we shouldn't take much notice of that. If that's the case, $7.50, despite barrier 15, could be good value for what is the best performed horse in the race. What's he do from gate 15?
I think they will ride him conservatively. I don't mind if he's three wide with something to follow into the race. I think that works out okay. Typically, he settles midfield worse than midfield anyway. I think he probably lands into that sort of spot again, maybe leaning towards worse than midfield from 15. You've got a very, very good jockey, a world-class jockey on his back, who tends to ride a lot of Group 1 winners. So I think he's right in the game. I would be very forgiving of that run last week when he was in the quicksand.
Two is Tagaloa. He bounced back in one of the highest rating Sears Hazes we've seen. He's drawn 10, looks a decent gait. What's the speed look like in the Guineas? Is it going to be a really hard run race? And can Tagaloa absorb that or take a sit behind the speed?
I think it looks genuine without being breakneck. There are horses that like to sort of free roll along in this race. I think Tagaloa, you've got to ride him ugly. You've got to just go forward on him and put him right up there in the firing line because he's tough, really, really tough, and he responds, and we saw that in the CS Hayes last start. He gave them all weight. He gave Asar 3.5 kegs. He was there to be beaten. Asar loomed. And I know people say, oh, it's Asar. Asar's a bloody good horse. He just finds one better on occasion. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, so far this prep, he's been beaten by the Oakley Plate winner and Tagaloa, who's won a Blue Diamond. That's not bad form. I'll expect Tagaloa would probably maintain an advantage on most out of the CS Hayes if they go forward again.
Now, you had been a little, I won't say negative towards Tagaloa.
He needed to win early
in the campaign. Now, if he wins an Australian Guineas, he's a Blue Diamond winner, as an Australian Guineas winner at three, what's his value?
Oh, he'd have to be around that. Given his pedigree, I don't know. He'd be around that 25 to 30 mark, which I think is probably what they valued him at after the Blue Diamond. He needs to win a Group 1 at 3, really, to justify the big deal. Either way, we may see him, I reckon we'll see him at stud this season in Victoria, which would be great.
Any concerns from us? A strong mile?
No worries there.
Okay. That's number two, Tagaloa. Number three is Asar, who has been the bridesmaid its last four starts, but he's always there and he's drawn another good gate.
He has. I think the critics are a little unfair with Asar. You know, the suggestion that he's some sort of non-winner. He's really, really genuine, and he puts himself right up into winning positions in his races. He's only had 8 starts. This horse, I wouldn't say we're seeing him at his absolute peak right now. You know, there may be room for improvement mentally as well as physically. I like the fact, listening to Ben Hayes, that he's been trained to peak for this race. I do think, though, that Tagaloa may be open to, not open to improvement, but I think Asar will find it harder to turn the tables on Tagaloa at level weights after taking 3.5 off him last time and not being able to run him down.
He's $7, Tagaloa's $3.90. That's about the right mark for them both.
Yeah.
All right, number four is Cherry Tortoni. He's a horse that I think could improve a lot into this race, especially if it's a hard run race. He was really good first up, probably just died on his run a little bit in the last 100. Gate 17, probably not that much of an issue, is he? He's going to go back, Tagaloa, Cherry Tortoni. Where do you see him fitting in up against those top four?
He's an interesting one, isn't he? He's floated around that Group 1 level, but generally has looked like a Group 2 horse. I think that'd be a fair assessment to make of Cherry Tortoni. The CS Hayes run was really solid. It's what you would expect from him first up over 1400. He got back and he found the line and found it fairly well. He gives away a lot of ground, And from 17, he's going to be doing that again. You'd think he'd be coming widest of all around the turn. And I think, how much ground can he afford to give up to horses like Tagaloa and hope to run them down? I think that's the knock for me with Cherry Tortoni.
So you're not giving him a winning hope tomorrow?
I don't think so. I think the way the race will pan out, he's probably going to be near a last and first on the turn. He's going to have to produce some sort of finish to get home unless they go really quick in front.
Dom Deschute from the West, he was really good after missing the start and coming from a long way behind in the CS Hayes. He's a $12 chance. He's drawn a better gate. Can he sit closer with the Wizard on board?
Yeah, I think he can. You can't forget that he was placed in a Kingston Town at Group 1 level 2 runs ago. That's a pretty good sort of standard of form for a race like this. He's, prior to that last preparation in that summer campaign last year in Perth, he didn't look like a big standout Perth horse that had come east and really go bang and have a massive impact. But I love that CS Hayes run. He was soft in the market. He was 17 to 21s. He still found the line. You could see he noticeably peaked on his run at about 100 metres and just sort of stayed on at one bat. And he had some troubles at the start too. So William Pike can get these horses over the line and he can put them in very, very good positions and he can will them to finish and to find something extra, as we saw with Celebrity Queen last week. I think he's the other horse out of the CS Hayes that I want to have in this quaddie.
$12 for the West Aussie, Dom Deschute. Poland, he's drawn the pole, $12. Mike Moroney, just had a chat to him. He said he's improved out of that win, which was a pretty fiercely run race. Is Poland up to the mile good enough to beat the likes of Asar, Tagaloa, Ole Kirk? And Zoo Dancer.
So they had 5 career starts, yeah. Poland. And that was clearly the best that we've seen from him last time in the Autumn Stakes. I think with that different form line away from the CS Hayes, he's one that you must throw into the quaddie. He can win.
Camborne. Big raps from the price. Kent Jr. stable. What do you make of his first up run? He's $21.
I don't know if he was really comfortable in between horses. I expected him to finish with a bit more lust for life. He didn't. Tongue tie goes on. I wonder if he sort of half choked down in that race.
Jet Propulsion's $26. The team's always spoken highly about this colt. Mm-hmm. Out to a mile. He chased home Poland first up. Do you give him a chance at big odds?
He's probably one of the roughies that could run a place, I would think. Gets a good draw. Lands probably just forward of midfield. Hasn't got a big turn of foot. Yeah, they might even decide to go forward on him. I'm in two minds about Jet Propulsion. If you're having a wider quaddy, I'd throw him in, but trimming it down, I'd probably leave him out.
It's Our Times. Had an interesting prep. He'll be fit. He ran last week, dropping back to the 1200 in the Zetative, and he wasn't disgraced. He steps up to the mile now. He's only lightly raced. He's $34.
Poland had him covered in the Autumn Stakes. Oxley Road had him covered last week, back to 12, up to 16, 7 days later. No thanks.
I flipped those around. That was 11 and 12. Campbell, and I've started going down through the odds market, not the numbers market.
Notice that.
That's what happens when you don't put your tab in numbers, yeah, you put it in odds. So
it's all right. You're blinded by love today.
Sorry.
I understand that. You're
sorry,
just reminiscing
punters.
At wedding photos and things like that. That time Jackie stitched you up on telly.
I've been told that. Watch. I've been told that tin is the gift for 10 years.
An embolism.
I like this. Tin tin is the modern gift.
Oh, I thought you said 10.
Sorry.
I thought you said an embolism is the gift. Oh.
Traditional gift for 10 years is tin. Modern gift is a high five, a glass of wine when the kids go to bed. That's from Dat, and Dat is on the money. There is no doubt about that.
Couple of green bullets for Jack tonight. Couple of VB stubs. Oh, no, not stubs. Cans.
Rosé in a can. You can get that these days. Now,
you couldn't, could
I've,
you?
I've stuffed this up, so let's quickly go through. 6 Lunar Fox.
I'm confusing you today. I'm not even trying. This is good.
I've got the odds order and the numbers order mixed up. So we're back to number 6, Lunar Fox. Any hope?
No.
Grand Slam, number 7. What do you make of his run first up in the CS Hayes?
Looked like a derby horse to me.
Not quick enough to win over the mile?
Oh, hard to say. That
did
he
run
is
third in
the
Caulfield Guineas.
He was 31 to 21 last week, last start, so they expected more of him. I don't. Oh, look, I'm finding it hard to see him elevate off that run.
He's a $41 hope. Poland, we spoke about. Number 9 is Bel Toro. Been a big boom on this horse. He was well beaten, the CS Hayes. Can he turn it around?
We see it so often. Horses going through the grades in the off-season, winning a few races. Everyone gets excited about them. They hit group level. Reality sets in.
Number 10, Embolism. Is he in the same category? He was just fair first up.
Ooh, he was, wasn't he? I don't know what happened last time. It was very odd. I've got a lot of time for this horse. I thought he'd run really well, particularly off his trial at Geelong, where he looked to go really nicely. He was awful in the CSAs.
Blinkers off, winkers on.
I don't know if that makes a winning difference, but anyway.
Well, he's $41. It's our time. We've spoken about Jet Propulsion. We've spoken about Camborne. We've spoken about number 14, Iron Edge, $81.
Nice maiden win. He's up to winning something at listed grade, but I don't think it's this race.
All right. Here to shock number 15, Woodshock. Any hope?
Just went a bit too quickly in the CS Hayes, didn't he? Another one coming through weaker races up to stakes level and wasn't up to it.
And now Zoo Dancer. Oh, this here we go. Is the filly. She was...
What is this thing?
Absolutely jaw-dropping in the vanity, where she smacked them. Jamie Carr on board. She gets the 2 kilos off the boys. Where have you got Zoo Dancer?
Well, she's right up there as a winning chance. You look at her career. They sent her to Bendigo. She was off the map in early markets. Did not run to expectations. Spell. Dunkeld, I'll say it again.
It was meant to be Sale, but she got scratched at the gates.
The horse she beat, Long Duan, won a maiden at Great Western recently. Anyway, Long Duan's winning Great Western races, and here's a horse that's right up in the top of the markets for a Group 1. Amazing where they can come from. Flemington win before a break, so that back end of summer, very good. Vanity win. She beat an Oaks winner by nearly 5 lengths. She's a very curious filly, this one. Untapped and a definite winning chance.
35 starters for 5 wins, fillies in the Australian Guineas. Mystic Journey Machine, Shamrocker, Miss Finland, Triskay. Does she fit into that category?
Old list,
can
it?
She become the sixth filly to win the Guineas?
Oh, gee, I don't know. It'll be a great story for Nathan Bennett and his friends, wouldn't it? It'd be a very, very good story. I think she's a must. On, right. If you look at the face value, the visual aspect of the lead-up races, she has been one of the most impressive.
And Lofty Star is the emergency. May not most likely get a run. Julius Sandu having a throw at the stumps. If it does get a run, any top five hope?
No.
All right. Let's give us your top four in the Guineas, Sharky.
Tagaloa on top. Zoo Dancer. Ole Kirk, Poland.
Would they be the only four you'd put in the quaddy, or would you go
correct.
Wider? Only four in the
only
quaddy.
Four in the
all right, Tagaloa, the big boy, to win the Australian Guineas off the back of his Blue Diamond win as a two-year-old from Shark. We'll take a quick break. Friday Form Focus. We'll still have a chat to Liam O'Keefe. He's out testing the track as we speak, and then we'll go through the remainder of the card at Flemington and the Group 1s up in Sydney.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We are looking at Australian Guineas Day at headquarters. Shark likes Tagaloa in the big one. Time to have a quick chat to Liam O'Keefe before we go through the rest of the meeting. Good morning, Liam. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jen.
Bit of a cool overcast morning in Melbourne. Have you had any rain out at Flemington?
Yeah, we had 1.5 mil overnight, so around 9-10 o'clock last night, a few showers pushing across the bay, and in addition to that, we put on 5 mil of irrigation, so it's left us on a good four this morning.
Good four tomorrow to start with. The rail's out true. It's not going to be a hot day tomorrow. Do you think it will stay in the four range throughout the meeting?
Yeah, railing 2 metre position tomorrow. We just pushed it out from the true, from Lightning Stakes Day. But, it's going to be 21 degrees, quite mild early. So I'd expect an upgrade around that middle of the card, similar to Lightning Stakes Day. But, presenting really good condition.
All right. You've got your big meeting with the Australian Cup coming up as well. So that 2 metre push out, is that because there's just a little bit of wear there, or is it to protect it for the big Australia Newmarket Cup meeting?
Nah, just a little bit of wear from the Lightning Stakes Day race meeting around the home turn. So we just want to get off that wear, and that enables us to put good water on to make sure the horses aren't going to chop up the ground or get off the fence during the day. So, it's a natural progression from Lightning Stagstone. And with next Saturday in mind, we'll push the rail out another 2 or 3 metres to cover this week's wear and put plenty of water on again.
All right. Got a couple of big fields, including English Dash down the straight. Will they be coming down the middle? Will they be following the nature strip path? Where do you think they'll go?
Yeah, I think they'll just come down the middle. They're probably going that quick in the Lightning. They've probably all got wobbly legs and just drifted everywhere a bit. But, I think two-year-olds probably closer to the fence inside. And then the other straight races come down that middle and then fan out where the straight meets the circle. So I wouldn't expect anything different for tomorrow.
Well, one thing we know, it's going to be a perfect racing condition or track tomorrow. We need a winner, though. Where are you going tomorrow, Liam?
Yeah, we got the coin last meeting with Nature Strip, so I'm confident again. ASAR and the Guineas, I think, set for the race. Hasn't peaked too early. Trained on the track, $1,600, $7 all day.
Gee, I like that. He's now starting to pump his own tyres up too, which is what I like the most.
I've got a Michael. We've got a competition with the other track managers, so we've got to pump ourselves up in the tipping.
Hey, there's no doubt about that. There's no congratulation like self-congratulation. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe, track manager. So he's with ASAR in the Australian Guineas. All right, let's get into the start of the meeting, and that is for the babies, the two-year-olds. A couple of interesting runners and very special kids plate. So don't forget the Pin and Win, very special
yes.
kids. They do so much amazing work for all the families and the kids in need. So if you can spare a couple of dollars, make sure you throw something very special kids way tomorrow. Tycoon Hummer, very good on debut for Johnny McArdle. It's into 250, which is pretty tight. Kalos, 460. Decent Rain had no luck in the preview at $6. Wanneroo, $6 to the moon. Alice, also unlucky last start on debut. And then you're down to the Hayes, Dabinick Pair, Zanzibar Gem, and also Ecstasy at $17 and $19. How do we kick off the meeting?
It's a strange little race, this one. There's not the obvious big bang in form lines. I think on the back of the Blue Diamond, it's a stakes race that's kind of there for the taking. I think if you had a filly at this time of year, you'd be trying to aim up at it, and there's no surprise that, 70% of the field are fillies trying to get that black type. I thought Tycoon Hummer, her debut at Bendigo, was very good. There was a little bit of jump out and trial form in that race. Tycoon Hummer sat back, sort of just off the pace, got shuffled back, coming around the corner. Once she found clear running, just exploded away. It was a very, very good win. And the market loved her, which is always a good sign. Loved her that day. I think she's the horse to beat. Wanneroo is a really... Look, she's hard to line up in this race. I reckon that Moonee Valley fillies race will be a good form line. Flying Evelyn was heavily back to the Moon Alice, who runs here. Ran really well. I think the stable thinks a little bit of it. Wanneroo was out the back and almost detached from the field. It was just going nowhere, and all of a sudden clicked into gear and smashed the line. It was a fantastic run. With better manners early in the race or more concentration, whatever it is, I think she can sit sort of closer to the back of the field. She'll be hitting the line really well. Ecstasy's jumped out well. We mentioned to the Moon Alice in the race as well. But Tycoon Hummer on top for me. I don't know if I want to have a bet in the race. What price is she?
$250.
Oh, it's near. Yeah, go on. Let's back it.
All right. You can't start the day without a luck tester.
That's right.
Tycoon Hummer. $2.50 is the tip for Johnny McArdle on top in the first. Race number two is the Roy Higgins Quality. Jockeys will be wearing black armbands in respect and rememorance of Jim Johnson, the legend who passed away. Not a deep race over 2,600 metres. Skymax was really good. Mark Newnham up in Sydney is the favourite at $2.90. Mosh Music for 60 Stars of Karen 480. Good idea at $8. So there's not a lot of ripping form that jumps off the page at you here. How do you compare Skymax to the locals?
I think he's a solid talent. I knew the horse in the UK. He was okay over there without really sort of jumping out as a future stakes class horse. He's got a good winning strike rate, which is a good help. Goes forward, he's got good natural speed. He did only carry 53 kilos in that Australia Day stakes, or Australia Day Cup, whatever it was called, at Warwick Farm last time. Like, Wolf gave him six and beat him, he only beat him a long neck. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he's a little bit unders here. The horse that I want to have a little go at, and I might be a run early, is Nelson, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I loved its run in the Tawny Cup. I thought it was very good. I don't think Moonee Valley will be his track long term, but it was a nice race to start him off in. He was obviously pretty fit going into it to kick off over 2,500 metres. I think he can run really well here and then go forward. I'm assuming they're going towards an Adelaide Cup with the horse. That's where I would guess he would be going. And he's going to get some handicap relief there when he does go to that race. So Nelson was around at 650 or something like that last night. I'd be happy to try him each way. One at a massive price that can improve is Rudimental, number seven. Two runs ago, super effort behind long arm. Really, really good run. And then a throat condition last start. So I'm not sure if that was pharyngitis or a little, if he's something wrong with his breathing. There's no gear change or anything like that. Maybe he just had a bit of a cold and some mucus. I'm not sure. But he was shaping up better than he ran in that race. So just keep an eye on him at 30-odd bucks.
No, well, he's 16.
16?
So you've taken the 30. Rudimental is $16, the Extreme Outsider, and Nelson is $8.50. So
$8.50, there you go. $8.50.
So there's two nice each-way plays in the Roy Higgins Nelson and Rudimental. Race number three is the Shaftesbury Avenue, and gee, I'm looking forward to seeing the Harrovian.
Oh, yes.
11 in a row. He's chasing 12 consecutive wins. We get to see him in the big smoke, though, taking on the locals. It's probably not a stellar field, though. There's a few horses that have been racing well, but nothing anywhere near the picket fence of the Harrovian. I Am Superman, no. First up, $5. Platoon over in the west at $6. Sierra Sue. What do we make of that first up run?
I don't know.
Ryder said wasn't happy with the action. She's $7. Sansom, $8. Morvada, $8. Holbein is at $9. And Bams on Fire's been scratched. So she must be heading to Sydney because she was a, or he was a big chance. She was a big chance off that debut run at first up run at Caulfield. Can the Harrovian continue the fairy tale?
I hope so. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a good yarn?
And borders are opening up tonight, so I wonder if the owners can get...
Headleys will be on the plane.
He'll charter a private one, surely, and get to Flemington. It'll be great to see them there.
Yeah, it would be great. Be great to see the horse win, too. Such an honest, tough horse.
Gutsy.
Yeah, he is. And I think one of the highlights of that late spring-summer period was watching this horse graduate to Metropolitan and then Stakes Class. It was great. So much emotion from the owners when he would race. Toby and Trent Edmonds have done a great job with the horse as well. I would love it if he could win, and I think he probably can. There's enough speed and good genuine speed. Sansom, Morvada go forward, set it. Holbein kicks up, holds a spot from the inside gate with Willie Pike. Harrovian from three will just be camped on them. He's got to give that speed weight. But he's probably earned it at this point. I think I'd love to have seen him have a run before backing him, so I'm not sure if I'll play in this race, but I think he can win. I'd love it if he did. I think I'm Superman is the danger. Just that 59 kegs is nagging me a little bit. I reckon he might be a horse that's best placed when he's got some weight relief, you know, and he's a little bit further down that handicap, but he's progressed to a point now as a Group 2 winner where he's going to be right up the top of these weights in handicaps like this. So he's awkwardly positioned at this point. I Am Superman.
All right, the Harrovian on top.
Yep.
He is the $3.60 favourite. He's being backed from $4.80 into $3.60. Race number four is the World Horse Racing Handicap over 1,200 metres. This is one of the tougher races on paper. Subidar is the favourite at $4. Laverot, who was good from WA, first up down the straight, finishing third behind, I'm telling you, Groundswell, first up at $8, Defiant Dancer, $8 as well. And Dean Lester was very confident this morning. His Rama Ruffy, Legionnaire, first up at $12. Who do you like here, Shark?
Right in the race, Legionnaire, definitely. Well, she, I backed him a few times last prep, and I thought he was going to win a couple of those races, and he just didn't. Laverod, best of the day for me.
Best of the day?
Yeah, loved the run first up. Thought it was great. I'm telling you, carried significantly less weight and just got him late. Tom Stockdale was having a bit of a look around by the 200. He was very confident on Laverod. I think the gap between runs probably just lacked a little, that rock hard race fitness late in the race. Still ran a beauty. I'm very confident that he'll bounce back here.
Does have a win over Celebrity Queen.
He's a pretty good horse, Laverod. He's a pretty good horse. Only missed a place three times in his career. I like him.
Happy to take 420?
Oh, yes.
All right, one of the best, if not the best, of the day. Race 4 at Flemington, which is good because we need to build the bank because the quaddie's not far away. Race number 5 is the Bob Hoisted over 1,000 metres. Can the West Aussies make it 2 in a row? Fabergino. I can't believe Fabergino didn't open up favourite.
What opened up
460, favorites? Now backed into 380. All Banter, who has been flying.
Who?
All Banter.
Oh, please.
Don't disrespect the South Aussies. All Banter's got three in a row and was a very good win last start. But
fell in.
It has. It
Before
has.
Before that, it won a 78 at the Valley.
It
How
has.
Did it start favourite ahead of Fabergino?
I don't know. I didn't
What's
set the market.
What's going on?
Now, could the other West Aussie be the hardest to beat, Indian Pacific or Montessira, who was first up at $5? It's a good little sprint race.
It is a very good race. Considering it's only a listed race, you've got a Group 1 winner in there, Haydock, as well. Don't forget him. I would suggest this is a pipe opener for the William Reid, too.
Mm.
I'm backing two horses here, Miguel. Number 2, Fabergino. Very, very good straight track horse. Very, very good short course horse. Can carry weight and win. In fact, it did that two starts ago at this level. Very, very hard to beat. Lightning Run was super duper. Montessira, number 10, jump out / trials have been rude. I think we'll see a really good run here first up from Montessira. I'm backing both of them.
Well, not far behind Swat's that September run, which is pretty good form line last time in. SMS from a listener, Prezado, finally gets in on a lightweight with Jay Carr.
This is the horse that at the start of the prep was airborne, ran well at the Valley, ran well at Flemington. You know, this is his lot in life, isn't it? Flemington 1,000 metres, or what is it? Is it 1,000? Yeah, it's 1,000. Flemington 1,000 metres. He's had 11 starts with 5 wins. This is his little niche.
Mm.
And he gets weight relief and Jamie Carr. Oh, I think, what price is he?
Well, you just said you're having two bets.
Yeah, what
you're
going to
have three
he?
Now. Prezado is a 17.
Oh, you know, he'll probably get something else. I might have three bets there. I think, well, do you know what? I'll back the other two to win, and I'll probably play like an exacta with those three horses for bulk units, which, you know, bulk units in our speak market with many children is probably like $20.
Fabergino, $380. Montessira, $5 win
Let's
bets.
Be real about that.
Throw in Prezado.
Especially when you've got to buy tin for your anniversary tin. Present.
I've got plenty of tin.
Tin.
Tinny for a couple of tinnies.
There's a few tin hats going around at the moment, talking about vaccines and things like that. A few bananas out there.
Let's not go there.
Oh, you not? Are you not? Oh, hang on.
No, you've been.
Are you not vaccinating?
Oh, please,
is it? You'd be a vaxxer.
100%.
Just roll.
Just
up
trying
the
to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Because arm sleeve or a
the
buttock
quaddy,
vaccination.
The quaddy first leg is the blamey stakes. You need an injection of some kind. Now.
I look at too many odds.
Buffalo River, I just had a look at his odds. He's into $2.70. Yeah, he's been very well backed. Sure. Mike Moroney was confident. Best of days, $5. Stars of the Seas. Star of the Seas is at $5. And then we're down to MJ, Mystic Journey. What do you make of Mystic Journey, her two runs this time in? D-Day tomorrow?
Well, I can't believe she's that close in the market. Blaze Fourth, who's a pretty solid Tasmanian horse. It's a pretty solid Tasmanian horse.
I tell you what, the horse that
turned
did beat
it over at $1.10.
The horse that did beat her last start, Newhart, is a very good galloper.
Oh, look, Newhart's a very good Tasmanian galloper. Where does it measure up in a race like this if it comes across? Top six?
He'd be in the conversation in a blaming Newhart.
Conversation for being in the field, maybe. It flogged.
Hello to all our friends down in Tasmania, including your uncle,
Newhart,
Kevin Sharkey, who you basically have just disrespected
now.
All of the form of Tasmania.
I think he's... What's the gallery down there? Mona?
We've got 15 minutes. We're going to get through these races and Sydney.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, I think he's sponsoring everything. I think he sponsors the spirit of Tasmania as well, Uncle Kev.
Well, he comes from a long line of very wealthy sharkies. So,
Buffalo River. I haven't been introduced to them yet.
So you're putting a line through Mystic Journey?
It can't win on that last run.
All right. Buffalo River, out to the mile. Would you take 270?
Probably not. It can win. Goes in the quaddy. Star of the Seas goes in the quaddy. Best of Days goes in the quaddy. And the other one for the quad is, drum roll, Mirage Dancer.
What?
This is a race where these stayers
can run. You're potting Mystic Journey.
Yeah.
And you are putting in Mirage Dancer?
That's what I think of the Tasmanian form.
Oh,
if you're getting beaten at $1.10 and $1.20 in Tasmania... I don't know if that's the right form for this race.
Mirage Dancer...
Great horse, Mystic Journey. I've been a fan.
You want to be on him when he gets to 2,400.
But, you know, even great footballers hit the end of
their peak. Quaddy numbers in the first leg.
Quaddy numbers, first leg. 2, 5, 7, 11.
2, 5, 7, 11. Mirage Dancer. Mm-hmm. 5, Best of Days. 7, Star of
you
the Seas.
Now.
And the 11, which is Buffalo River, the favourite. All right, that is Sharky's first leg of the quaddy. Just recap your Australian Guineas numbers for us, Shark.
Can't remember they were. 1, 2...
Tagaloa on top. In?
5, 8, 16.
So 2...
1, 2, 5, 8,
1, 16. 2, 5, 8, and 16.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Ole Kirk, Tagaloa, the 5, which was Dom Deschute, the 8, which is Poland, and 16, the Philly Zoo Dancer. Right, race number 8 is the English Dash. Rocketing By has been doing just that. $4.20 up in Sydney. The Bopper, $5. Bella Nipotina, Ben Hayes' Best of the Day at $7. Well,
definitely in the quad.
Good chance to get written miss on as well. So,
this is a good race.
Caroline Jenny's be a big moment for her in a $500,000 race.
Good luck to Caroline.
$500,000 to the winner.
And to Jason Bembo, who's been glued to written miss.
Oh, that would be really good to see.
There would be some sort of cake at the Bembo household to celebrate that night, because Jason's much better half is a fantastic cake baker.
I thought Jason was.
Floss.
Of $500,000. All right, Rocketing By, Sydney form v. Vic form. Which way are you going?
Oh, look, it's hard to ignore Rocketing By. Drawn barrier one, though, down the straight.
First time
don't
down
know
the
about
straight.
That. Bella Nipotina, I'm a fan. Definitely goes in the... Look, it's not one where I can single out a horse in this race. I think the one at the big price, which should not be the price it is number one, Larimer Street. Stakes winner, good form. They've gelded this horse.
Yes.
Which is about as effective as a 10-year wedding anniversary sort of timeline when it comes to concentration and everything else. It straightens you up a bit. It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
I don't know where the hell you're going now. Hey,
Larimer Street.
Philip Campbell from Blue Gum yesterday, we're out there. They bred Larimer Street, and he said the inside word from the stable is that he is going very, very well.
I think he's a chance here. What price is he?
$31.
On top.
On top?
Yep.
Larimer Street, first up at $31. Now, I'd imagine this is a reasonably wide leg of the quaddy. Who else are we putting in?
We're putting in 1, 3, 6, 8, 10, 13.
Larimer Street. 3, Rocketing By. 6, Bella Nipotina. 8, Lord Olympus. 10, Written Miss. And 13, which is... How do we say it? Celestine. That is the third leg of the quaddy. Sharky, try tipping 3 per race, then you may finally tip the card. Mystic Journey.
I haven't said that for a while. We've sort of been... I don't think I've said that this calendar year. Mystic, that I'll tip the card.
Because you've lost all confidence. Mystic Journey, Lay Her the Place. That's from Cookie in Carnegie.
Down with that, Cookie.
Can Sharky please just pick the field? Save us, plebs, and the owners bothering betting or watching our horses run. That's from Tony. So I think the punters are saying you need to
offer to put a field in one.
Sharpen your pencil. Maybe
well,
you can do that.
Races.
Maybe you can do this in the last, and it doesn't get any easier in the last. Snap Dancer.
Remember who you're dealing with here.
Snap Dancer is the $5 favourite. Paul's Regret. Peter Chow doing a great job. Is at $7. I'm looking forward to seeing Chaillou. I didn't do French, sorry.
Yeah, bonjour,
Chaillou at $7.
You know what
it
means?
No.
Neither do I.
Shout the Bar, $7.50, the Group 1 winner. Gress Full Glamour, $9.50. If you're alive coming to the last leg of the quad, I think you're going to want a fair few in the last leg.
This is a disappointing name. Apparently, oh no, hang on. It's incorrect spelling. Keep talking, Michael. I'm getting there. I think it means quail.
There you go.
I think it's a family name that means quail.
Excellent.
So she's a little bird, isn't she? She's not a big filly. That's probably well named there.
Well, it might well be.
Chaillou on top. I love her. I wish she would have won. I wish she would have run a place in the Empire Rose. It would have been a fat, fat day. But alas, it was not. She's on top here. Very good fresh. Her first up win last time round was extraordinary, really. It was in much lesser grade than this, but damn, it was a good win. She's on top. I think you have to put in Snap Dancer. It's fit, although it looks like it's just dropped a little bit off its first two runs. Again, maybe getting to this level just evens things out. There's a horse in this race I was really keen on that is no longer running here. It's running in Sydney called Love Sensation. You need to follow it up there. Paul's Regret goes in. I reckon that might do us here.
You've got to have more than that in the last leg. Give me your numbers in the last.
In Good Health goes in. In Good Health. 6, 8, 10, 11.
6, 8, 10, and 11.
You can't criticise me for going wide, and then when I sort of trim up a race that you think I should have 78 runners in, then you can't say, oh, yeah, but more than that in. You can't have both sides of this argument.
6, In Good Health. 8, Snap Dancer.
Poor old
10,
you know,
Paul's
Billy
Regret.
Billy from Brighton or wherever it was. He'd be having kittens right now.
And
Chaillou is
$11. 6, 8, 10, and 11.
A bit of five spice quail would go down right. So pretty well right now.
No Shout the Bar, no Graceful Glamour.
Nah.
No Affair to Remember.
Nah.
All right. Mamsell Tess, Troy Corson's was bullish about its chances today. Said she always is flat first up, but it was a big run. She bounces out of that second up. And it's been $26 into $19.
They were trying to get her into the All-Star Mile.
Yep. So ran second in this race last year. So
look, if you're going to throw another one in, you probably put Mamsell
the three.
Tess in. I've seen Troy out there, out and about at the sales this week. He's got a spring in his step at the moment.
Well, why wouldn't you? You've got Zoo Dancer this week. So what's that next week?
He is bouncing.
Now, we're going to take a break.
I've never seen him look better.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with the Group 1s in Sydney and a couple of good things up there. Love Sensation is $35 in Race 7, Sydney, tomorrow.
Get ready on
that after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We've had a look at the Australian Guineas meeting at Flemington in Sydney. We've got two Group 1s, the Chipping Norton and the Surround. The Tab Chipping Norton, we get to see very elegant Colette, the two best ducks and arguably race mares in Australia. On a soft 7 tomorrow at the moment, Sharky. I'm not sure what the forecast is tomorrow. I'll have a look at that. But at the moment, hopefully it won't be as wet as what we've seen in recent weeks up there. Who do you like in the Chipping Norton?
Look, I think Very Elegant was probably the run out of that race that you want to follow, really. It was the run that you thought, oh, okay, you didn't get the best of luck. Colette was off and gone. You can improve. I think from the Apollo, she's the one that I want to be with here.
Take 260?
Yeah, I would.
Second up.
Is there more rain coming?
I just had a look. It's 24 degrees today and basically no chance of rain. 23 tomorrow, 20% chance of rain. So
it'll improve a little bit.
You would think that it's currently a soft seven. You would hope it would be, at worst, a soft seven with a chance to improve. Colding, I thought he was really good first up. He's a horse that would probably like a bit firmer.
Yeah, he wants a firmer deck for sure.
And Fun Star.
Yeah.
You know, she was the boom 3-year-old.
Mm.
He give her a hope? Decided to race up there instead of Melbourne?
I can't catch Fun Star. Mm. Fun Star for mine starts favourite in a lot of races and doesn't win.
Well, she's won 5.
Yeah.
All right.
They've probably been in lesser grade. Like, they've been as she's been emerging. Runs a lot of placings. Runs a lot of nice fifths and sixes, Fun Star.
Very elegant on top in the Group 1 at Chipping Norton. The Group 1 Surround Stakes. This is a lot more open, this race. Dame Giselle's at 480. La Mexicana is at 650. It's probably not your most...
Very even.
It is an even race. There's no stars in this Group 1. Any of these mares that could win this, it's going to be very, very good. Or fillies, because it's not a Group 1 that you would see the same class, is what I'm probably trying to say.
Yeah.
Dame Giselle, 460. La Mexicana, 650.
I'm really in anniversary mode.
It's a busy day today.
Well, you're ordering all this champagne and quail. I can see your phone. I can see what you're doing here.
Who are we with in the surround? What about Hungry Heart? You loved this girl. You absolutely loved her.
In past tense. I still love her. I think
she's $10.
Yeah, she's going to get a little bit of mine tomorrow. I didn't think that run in the Light Fingers was too bad. Every rose dominated from the front. Hungry Heart was back sort of midfield, just off, closing well late, doing her best work through the line. Barrier 17 just hurts. It hurts so bad. Probably 1/3, I reckon, Hungry Heart. Dame Giselle was good from off the speed. Unusual sort of... Not unusual tactics, but she usually sits a lot closer to the pace, is what I'm trying to say about Dame Giselle. Hopefully she can be forward tomorrow. I'm going to try. There are a couple of... La Mexicana goes really well on wet ground. I'm going to try her, and I'm going to try Love Sensation. I love that run in the Light Fingers.
$41.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. Right. I was on there, and I'm going to be on again.
It's a beautiful segue, Love Sensation, because we've got a very... special man in the studio who's having his last day at TAB, and
he is the love
he
sensation.
Has been called that before. I speak of Trent Langscale, who joins
often
us
multiple times in one night.
And Trent, we've put you in your own special segment to say goodbye to you today, because not only are you going to give us the best back runners in Flemington and also Sydney tomorrow, but we want to wish you all the best for the next chapter, because you've been such a mainstay on RSN over God knows how many years now. Such a passionate man who comes on and wears his heart on his sleeve and has a bit of fun as well as giving us the odds, Trenny boy.
Good morning to you, Michael. Thank you very much for those kind words, and I'm not wanting to be a stranger to the three racing codes and sports once it comes up at the end of today. Again, thank you very much for those words. They're much appreciated. I'll just mention the Australian Guineas. You've touched on this with yourself and Sharky. Tagaloa is the $3.90 favourite. The firmer, particularly yesterday, Acer, $9 to $7. Outside of that, in the first, there's been really good support for Tycoon Hummer, the $2.50 favourite. And in race 5, yes, Fabergino did not go up as the favourite, but that's not the case now. Fabergino, the $3.80 favourite for the ATA Bob Hoisted handicap. Randwick tomorrow, the two group ones in race book order. Race 6 is the TAB at Chipping Norton Stakes, where Very Elegant is the $2.60 favourite. There has been more support, though, for Colette, currently the $3.30 second elect. In race 7, the Surround Stakes, you've just been mentioning that. Dame Giselle, the $4.80 favourite. Best supported is Never Talk at $8. The best supported runner at Randwick tomorrow comes up in race 3, which is 4 moves ahead, currently at the top of the market at $2.70. With those markets and plenty more, you can check them out at your local TAB, respecting COVID-19 protocols, tab.com.au, and the TAB app on your mobile. As always, please gamble responsibly.
Don't go anywhere.
Thank you again.
Don't go anywhere. I'm not saying you can't sign off just yet. You always give out the odds. Now, your offsider Nick Quinn always gives his best as well. We want Trent Langscale's best bet on your last day.
Oh, I really haven't gone too deeply into it, Michael. That is an excuse, but okay, if you're pressed. I really believe Zoo Dance was fantastic 2 weeks ago in the Tab Vanity. Phillies do have a good record in the Australian Guineas. I remember particularly with Shamrocker 1 year. I'll go with Zoo Dancer in the Australian Guineas tomorrow at $5.50.
I like it. I like it. Now, Sharky.
Yes.
While Trent's here, give us your best at Flemington, best in Sydney, and a filthy Friday multi for Trenty.
Okay. Laverod, best in Melbourne. Great house. Wait till late in Sydney. It's my best there. And if you want a little multi, something for Langers just to go out on a big bang. Let's bring up Moonee Valley. Stay with me here, Trent. We are going to go race 2, number 7, Marabai. We are going to go race 4, number 1, Sartorial Splendor. And we're going to go race 5, number 1, one of my favourites. Oh, no, it's one of yours, Trent. Snapper.
Oh, I like it. Very good. Sharknado.
Yes.
We will see you Monday out at the sales. Trenty boy, don't be a stranger. And we will see you out at the track all the time. We might even get you back on for a cameo appearance, and especially if Zoo Dancer wins, there could be an opening on Friday Form Focus coming up very soon as well. But as we say goodbye to you, Trenny, I'm not sure if Mikey's got some of your best work from this morning, but we will miss your rapping as well. Trent, don't be a stranger as we go to the news.